Hello and welcome to We Got a Podcast, a podcast about Dragon Ball from A to Z, from Earth to Namek to Sadala. We cover it all. My name is Randy.
And I'm Doug.
And I retired from game theory before MatPat. Ken.
Shots fired. Okay. Internet drama that I don't get. Anyway,
oh, we're in the let's world's... do it.
Let me clear up drama. Real quick. There's no drama.
Okay.
No drama.
We're the world's strongest under the heavens trio to dangers here every other week to talk year off about fights, goofs, and everything else in the Dragon Ball cosmos. But before we get into the fun, obviously we have to talk about a thing, some serious business. So if this is your first time hearing, I'm sorry.
Where have you been?
Yeah. Where have you been to? Sit down. Take a sec, because on March 1st, 2024, Akira Toriyama, the author of Dragon Ball and other works such as Dr. Slump and Sandland and a bunch of other things, passed away from an acute subdural hematoma at the age of 68. So it's a bummer and it sucks. Obviously, he and his work had a gigantic effect on all of our lives. We wouldn't be here on this podcast. The three of us probably wouldn't even be friends. We'd hate each other. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mortal enemies.
Yeah. We just wouldn't have probably had the opportunity to meet because we come from, you know, different parts of the country and different walks of life and all that. But it was the magic that Toriyama gave to the world with his works that kind of brings a lot of people together. And so, of course, you have a lot of people that love him and love his work. Obviously, when he passes, it's very sad for everybody. So we've all been kind of in our feelings and all of that. And yeah, it's rough, but we've had kind of the opportunity to sort of have some group therapy and a celebration of him and his work with our friends over at Kanzenchu every Saturday, mostly. We play Mario Kart together as friends, and he just put out a video, he being Mike Vegito EX, the guy who runs Kanzenchu, of our session there. So it's us, it's Mike, it's Mary, it's Jeff, a whole bunch of other people, friends and family of Kanzenchu family, where we share our thoughts, feelings, and celebrate the man. So if you would like some more of us talking about that, highly suggest you give that a watch, give that a listen, and yeah, but... otherwise, you know, it's a bummer. And Ken, Doug, is there anything you want to say before we move on and try to have a little fun with what's still the magic that we have in this world?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that we will keep celebrating his life every day just by continuing on talking about Dragon Ball all the time. Like, just it's something we love that he created. And yeah, it'll never be not part of our lives, no matter what happens. And yeah, I was really bummed. Like, it didn't hit me. I told you guys, but it didn't hit me for like a long time after reading tweets and then looking down and then looking, twirling around my room in my little chair and seeing how every inch of my room is covered in Dragon Ball figures. It really like, oh, he created that. Oh, he created that. Oh my God, this wouldn't exist without him. Like it really hit me like all at once. And it was, I was appreciative that someone exists that could make me feel that way. So I'll forever be grateful to Toriyama for, you know, everything he's given us.
Mm-hmm. He was one of, if not the most influential creators in the past half century. And so it's not just this podcast wouldn't exist, but like pretty much everything. Dude, you like.
Who knows what this universe
would be
different.
Like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Naruto,
I mean, Dragon
Bleach,
Ball is everywhere. I mean, no, not even just Japanese stuff. I mean, Mario was based, you know, on Raleigh, you know, like with the wing cap and stuff in 64.
Yeah.
And
the
just
running.
The proportions and everything, the design, everything
Sonic
you
the Hedgehog.
Know and cherish. Yeah, and if you take Sonic and Mario out of the equation,
yeah.
that ripples throughout all
oh
games.
Oh my God.
The gaming industry never comes back from the collapse it had in the 80s. Everything in the world is different.
That would be incredible to like, if interuniversal travel ever existed, to just see one without Toriyama's effect in it and just be how different it would be.
Yeah, you really cannot overestimate how influential he was. And so just really by doing or enjoying anything,
yeah,
you're celebrating his life.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously he means a lot to us and he probably means a lot to you, even if you're like, oh, I've never met the guy. Again, like Ken said, his effect on so many different things has definitely touched your life in some way, shape, or form. So, of course, we mourn his passing. And but, you know, this show, we talk about all the things, you know, of Dragon Ball and the things that he's made. So this is just going to be a continued celebration of him, his work. You know, we are going to keep having fun in it. So Yeah, check out that video. Otherwise, I guess I want to ask Doug, what's new with you?
I wanted to keep playing more Rebirth, but because of everything happening, and even before that, I was getting more into like making more TikTok videos for the channel, mm-hmm. and just like that took up a lot of my time, so I didn't really get to get too far. I'm aching to see what the story has in tow for us. What's the term? I always mess up terms. Well, you know, whatever. I love to see what's going to happen in the story, but the side quest of everything is so addicting and done so well that it never feels like I'm checking off a chore list. It feels like I'm just having fun with the game. And I love that about I love that. Like, I've been waiting 4 years to find out what's going to happen with this character. And yet here I am just running around on my chocobo and looking for like crystals or whatever. It's great.
I'm much further than either of you.
Mm-hmm.
Considerably. I'm about 52 hours into the game now.
Nice.
And for people who've played the original game, I'm on the trip to Gold Saucer in which the date happens, but I have not done that yet. And I'm using this as an opportunity to go through and start clearing out some of the world because I have not enjoyed it. And I've been skipping past all the mini games, of the like open world stuff you can do. I didn't care for the checklist, but for some reason, now that I'm at this point in the game, I'm like ready to go back and start clearing some of that stuff out.
At least as for both kind of players, I guess, but yeah, I'm not big on side quests either generally in games, but something about this one, it really, and I also am hot or cold on like Queen's Blood or Fort Condor, but those are definitely ones I just gotta like, get out of the way so I don't have to go back to them again. And then of course they introduce hard mode. I'm like, no, screw that. I didn't continue with the hard mode stuff.
Yeah, I have a laundry list of complaints with this game. And if this game wins Game of the Year in December, I'm gonna become the most obnoxious person you've ever met. So watch out.
Oh my gosh.
Keep but having said that, I really enjoy the game. Fingers on the mute
button. Yeah. Not in this podcast, but on social media.
Yeah. So this is going to be a bad episode for me and opinions and takes. I already know. Randy, what have you been up to?
Hilarious. For me, the game so far is a 10 out of 10. Like critically, maybe like a 9 or 8. But for me, I'm having a 10 out of 10 time playing this game at my own pace, too. Like I said, I don't think I played in like a few days, honestly. Just like, busy.
It's been my life. I think I'm about 45 or so hours into it, but I was going through and doing everything in the world before progressing, which I was kind of like, well, I am excited to see where things go, but I do like running around this world on my chocobo doing stuff until I got to the Costa del Sol region. And I'll tell you why, because some stuff there and then it's like, okay, well, now the story is done here. I can move on and go explore the world. You got to go do more story and then you can explore more of the world. We only gave you like a couple of things to do. I'm like, okay, well, I was running around looking for how do I get up here? How do I get up? I'm like, oh, I can't yet because I need to get some other items and progress. That's and then
exactly where I am, actually. I just finished Costa del Sol stuff and about to walk out and do more stuff out there. You're saying so. Okay.
And so then I progressed the story, did a dungeon, do all this other stuff. And I'm like, cool. Oh, here's some more world to go check out. But you can't get there either. Continue playing some more and get some more stuff. Okay, I'm just not bothering to do a lot of open world stuff until I'm close to the end of the game now because I'm so frustrated of like, oh, I can't wait to explore and complete all this stuff, but I can't because they've gated it more. So it got frustrating. So the only thing
I told you when you can go and really open that back up then.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's good to know though for me that I'm just going to keep, I'm going to not dwell on the side stuff and just go on story. That's great. Okay, cool.
Yeah. You'll get some more transportation options and that's kind of when you can really start looking around at other places. Gotcha. But I'm like, no,
as soon as I step out into that after Costa del Sol region, I'm like, oh yeah, more world. Like then it felt like a drag, like more open world for me to check out. I'm kind of burned out on that, but okay, maybe I won't feel bad about skipping a lot of it then. Okay. For now.
So then maybe gating it was good because I was also kind of getting like, do I really want to do all this? But now they're like, no, we're going to gate it off. You have to make some progress and see the story.
You see all those dots fill out whenever you do a side quest and you're like, okay, like, oh, wow, I did 30 or whatever in the grasslands. Okay, that's great. Another 30? Okay, I'm going to do those 30. I did 30. Oh, I had like 60 side quests and now more? Okay, no, I'm done. Yeah. I feel happy by my 60, but now you're throwing another 30 at me? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me the second I stepped out of Junon. I was like, no, I don't want to do this again.
See, I started kicking ass. Oh, yeah.
I played the story demo. I didn't touch the Junon one.
Okay, because for me it was like, oh yeah, this again. But then it actually was a lot of fun, a lot more to explore.
Hmm. Well, we could be sitting here talking about Rebirth all the live long day, but we have other things we wanted to talk about. Things for Ken to get saucy about, I'm sure. This episode, we're asking ourselves, what do we want in Sparking Zero, the new and upcoming Dragon Ball game? And
a competent game. That's it. End the episode.
Yep, there we go. Short one.
That's all we need.
Later. No. Okay. So if you're not sure about the whole deal with these Sparking games, let me tell you a little story. Sparking Games debuted in 2005 on the Sony PlayStation 2. It has two sequels, Neo and Meteor, that also came out on the PS2, but also came out on the Nintendo Wii in 2006 and 2007, respectively. This was followed up with the Raging Blast series of games on the Sony PlayStation 3 and the Microsoft Xbox 360, as well as Tenkaichi Tag Team on the Sony PlayStation Portable. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the follow-up Ultimate Blast. Not Ultimate. First, we just got Raging Blast 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 3 and the 360. The Sparking series, or Budokai Tenkaichi for international releases, has been slumbering, waiting for the right time to arise, and that time is now. Back with a bang, Sparking Zero is set to release on the Sony PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series systems, as well as PC in the near future. Though coverage on the title is minimal, it looks to be a return to form with the bombastic and fast combat scene in the Sparking series in the aughts. And with this return, we can't help but dream of what new features and what changes we can expect. So here today, we want to talk about what we want in Sparking Zero. But first, let's take a look at a history of the franchise. Ken, you were doing some research.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to chime in saying that the fast combat? I don't know what game you've been playing.
Okay. Bombastic? So, I want to do air quotes so bad when you were saying that. Yeah.
You're all out of here.
All right. So, Spike, now known as Spike Chunsoft, they are the developers of this game, of course, and they started with Sparking on the PlayStation 2, October 6, 2005, in Japan. In Japan, so I've got unit sales for all of these games, as well as the Metacritic scores. So kind of show us maybe Randy's rolling his eyes at me, but maybe just kind of to help measure your expectations of where this developer is before going into Sparking Zero, okay? So it sold 610,000 copies in Japan. About VG Charts is estimating 2 million global. Metacritic of 72. Hey, 72 is not bad for a licensed PS2 game, okay?
Yeah.
No.
Sparking Neo came out the following year, October 5th. PlayStation 2 and Wii, so we're kind of going into Nintendo territory. 650,000 copies in Japan, 1.94 combined between both consoles. Metacritic of 72, didn't move at all. Sparking Meteor came out the following year, October 4th, PlayStation 2 and Wii, 500,000 in Japan, 2.23 million combined. So we went up a little bit. Metacritic of 72 again.
Which is absolutely wild, because things change. They added on things every game. I don't know how you stay the same exact number on a 100-point scale, but whatever.
Right. I think after this, Infinite World came out, which is, of course, a Dimps game, a follow-up to Budokai 3. So that's not in this list, but that's going to explain why there was no Spike game in 2008. So in 2009 is when we get Raging Blast on the PlayStation 3 and 360, 145,000 in Japan. And 0.7 million combined worldwide.
Ouch.
Metacritic of 56.
Ouch.
Let me tell you this. I never played that one because why? I didn't hear good things. Look, if you make a bad one, all right, you deserve it. Yeah.
You're no simp for those games. You're just, waiting for the good one.
It might have been this one where I heard there was some obnoxious rock, scissors, paper stuff in it.
No. That is Ultimate Blast or Ultimate Tenkaichi, and that was in 2011.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to that one then.
Yeah, 2011. Yeah.
Here shortly. But as you can see, massive dip in sales, massive dip in its Metacritic score. It could be that as gaming tastes are starting to change, as we've entered into the HD era, maybe old Spike is getting left behind.
Behind.
But again, I haven't played Raging Blast, so I can't speak to it.
Raging Blast 2. Let's hear what that was, because I did play a lot of that one.
Well, we're not there quite yet because we've got Dragon Ball Tag Versus, also known as Tenkaichi Tag Team. I haven't been mentioning the English titles, but they've all got Tenkaichi in it somewhere except for the Raging Blast ones. September 30th, 2010. So this was...
Is it a PSP game?
PSP mm-hmm. game, yeah. It's 85,000 copies sold, 0.27 million worldwide. But you also have to imagine this came out on the PSP.
Yeah.
A right. system notorious for games not selling because it was so easy to pirate games on it.
Damn.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I never did.
Metacritic of 63, so we go up a little bit, okay? So then in November 11th of the same year is when we get Raging Blast 2 on PlayStation 3, 360, 97,000. So that's down from 145. Wow. 0.58 million copies sold. So if you're noticing a trend here, these games are no longer selling as well, and the Metacritic score is dropping. Because we were in a Dragon Ball fatigue state at this time, because these were basically yearly releases.
Yeah. And
just
the same shovel garbage every year. Yeah.
Who wants to do Raditz to Boo again?
Yeah.
Now, Raging Blast 2 didn't have a story mode like that. So at least we had that reprieve of not Raditz to Boo.
Alas, it didn't save its Metacritic score, which sits at 57.
Robbed.
Ultimate Blast, known as Ultimate Tenkaichi in the States and I guess worldwide, comes out December 25th, a Christmas game, 2011 in Japan. So while they were enjoying their KFC, isn't that a tradition?
Yes. Yeah.
To get KFC yeah. on Christmas.
The Colonel dresses up
they were Santa. Playing this game. PlayStation 3, 360, 84,000 sold, 0.7 million worldwide, Metacritic of 58.
So dang. I would like to address something.
Okay.
Probably said it in public spaces before, but back in 2011, 2012, the beginning and around then, there was this podcast called Daizenshu EX. Now it's called Konzenshu, where at that time people were sending in emails and they would read emails or audio emails. And a certain person named Randy might have sent in an audio email defending Ultimate Tenkaichi / Ultimate Blast, saying how good it is. And that, you know, people should give it a shot.
You totally like, actually, the game is great, didn't you?
I did. And I regret that because that game is hot garbage. And I don't know why I was
glad to
so...
know your opinion is stuck in there forever now in internet history. So that's great.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're like, actually, Randy, you said this 14 years ago. Like, I did. And I... I'm sad about that.
People
and
change.
And I regret it. People change.
People wake
and
up.
And it was very funny. It was like a year later. I was like, oh, why did I say that? This game sucks.
Only a year later, you're like, you know what?
You know what?
I'll play this a bit more. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And wrapping things up with the Ultimate Tenkaichi feedback, we actually have an audio review from Haseo Wolf Randy. So let's check out what he's got to say.
Hi there. This is Randy Thompson, also known as Haseo Wolf or Ava Shogoki. That's my PSN ID. And I just want to do a quick little review / rebuttal about what my feelings are on Ultimate Tenkaichi. So if anyone wants to dig into that, or Mike, I know that you're a huge fan of Legends, and telling from Twitter you absolutely hate Ultimate Tenkaichi, let's talk about it sometime.
In this game's defense, I think it has some of the nicest textures of any Dragon Ball game.
It looks so like this one, Kanzanban coloring.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Yeah. So very soft, but saturated, and where everything just looks kind of very dimly lit, but it's hard to explain without looking at it. So here's a picture on the screen. If your audio version,
that one.
Google it, I guess.
Ultimate Blast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember 2012 playing this game, and right when that was setting in of like, maybe this game isn't good, of me thinking like, gosh, if I could just get Budokai Tenkaichi 3 Sparking Meteor again, but it looks like this, oh, Kanzanban coloring, everything would look so great and crisp and HD. That'd be the bee's knees.
I didn't even think about it looking like Kanzanban colors until you mentioned it, but that's totally what that is. It's great. Yeah.
Metacritic score 58.
Deserved.
The next year, again, we're still going these yearly releases. Yeah. Except for Japan. Japan gets a quick reprieve because the next game from Spike is Dragon Ball Z 4 Connect. October 9th, 2012 in the US for the 360. As you can imagine, in Japan, they don't have Xboxes.
Right.
Like literally no one. And this one sold a whopping 0.01 million. So that's about 10,000 copies total sold.
I bought 9,000 copies, so that's pretty bad.
That game is just first person Ultimate Tenkaichi, but first person with a Kinect. So
right.
it's this game is already a year old. It didn't do well. What if we have you moving around in front of your TV for it?
I think I skipped every single Raging Blast Tenkaichi game from 2 until Kinect. This Kinect game brought me back of all games.
And it's because it came packaged with Episode of Bardock.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So you can definitively say that outside of like used game sales and who's buying a used copy of Dragon Ball Z for Kinect, about 10,000 people in the United States can say they have legally been able to watch Episode of Bardock and not a person more.
I had some friends over to watch it, and you need a Kinect to activate the video. So I'm sitting there like, all right, guys, give me a second. I need to get this menu to go to select Episode of Bardock. So, moving my hands around.
It's no surprise this game has our lowest Metacritic score of 49. Now, the next game, we're going to mention twice because it came out in two different aspects, but this it'll make sense here in a second. J-Star's Victory Versus came out on March 19th, 2014 for the PlayStation 3 and Vita in Japan only. Sold about 260,000 copies. A Famitsu score, because there's no Metacritic for this game because it was Japan only, a Famitsu score of 32 out of 40.
Whoa.
So let's talk Famitsu real quick. If Famitsu gives something anything less than like a 38 out of 40, it's probably a garbage game.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That high?
Because Famitsu is like notorious for rating games that are high, rating games highly, in which they're like a cover feature. Now, for those who don't know, publishers generally have to pay to be a cover feature. So Famitsu is very kind of, you kind of have to take any of their opinions with a grain of salt because they're always in pocket with the publishers while they're doing their reviews or in Death Stranding and giving that game high scores. So just something to keep. A 32 out of 40 in Famitsu of all places is pretty damning.
Oh my God.
Hmm.
Now, this game did come out in the U.S., Doug, as you know. I know you've spent tons of money on this game.
Absolutely.
As J-Star's Victory Versus Plus. In the U.S. only, this version never came out in Japan.
Mm.
On June 30th, 2015, for the PlayStation 3, 4, and Vita, sold 0.31 million copies total, so 310,000. So that's probably higher due to its worldwide release, minus Japan, of course. So a lot more people have exposure to it. A lot more people are buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Metacritic of 61.
Damn. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Right.
I don't know what I was thinking when I bought one copy for PS3 because I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna play this. But then it was when PS4 was coming out. I got that. And I was like, oh, I gotta buy it again so I can play with friends. I don't think I've ever played that game multiplayer once to this day. So
I bought it. I think they must have done like a complete version where you got all the DLC or something.
Yeah.
I bought that and then I played it for about 30 minutes and said, nah.
Yep.
Or Randy, what's the thing? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I turned it off. Yeah. Okay, so that was 2015. So now we're going to have our biggest gap here.
Get ready.
There were other games coming out at the time, Dragon Ball games. We had Xenoverse and Xenoverse 2 in this period of time.
Oh, that's
and
still going
even
around.
Fighters came out at this point. February 14th, 2019, a notorious game known as Jump Force assaults us for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and the Switch. Switch version came later. Now, guys, the unit sales for this game, all told combined, 5.12 million.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
With a Metacritic score of 56.
Yeah. Mm,
and for the Switch version, 50.
So definitely marketing had a play this time around, because I feel like more people knew about the game. Like, what? You're combining Shonen Jump characters into a game? It's like, yeah, they've been doing this for a long time, but you're just not realizing. The world's just not realizing this because of marketing.
They marketed the hell out of this game.
They did.
And I think it was a combination of that. I was talking to K-Baz a little bit on the Konsenshu forums or Konsenshu Discord about this. And it was a bunch of stuff happened. So you had marketing, you had a lot of people getting into new manga series and new anime series that were in this game, like My Hero Academia. There were a lot more eyes on this thing. They pushed real hard and it exploded.
Yeah.
And everyone came in from nostalgia or people who were actively just now into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Goku was on the little statue they gave you with the special edition, but he really wasn't the main focus of this game. Mm-hmm. It was One Piece, Naruto, everything in Jump.
Yeah. I feel like YouTube influencers also helped kind of pump this game up, like, you know, it's more more so than the YouTube scene of YouTubers were back when the first games came out in 2015 or whatever.
And you can't judge. You got to get that paycheck. So if you got a shill for Jump Force of all things, get that money.
I'm not sure how much it affected sales, but also the day that game launched, the original version that you would download from Steam on the PC version, came with the build in Unreal Engine and the source code. So people were like, oh, I can just easily make mods for this game like crazy. Oh,
cool.
So, of course, then, you know, they're like, oh, we got to do a patch to take out all of the stuff because everybody could just go in and modify the game quite easily.
That game still makes me miss Jump Superstars and Ultimate Stars. That game for the DS was perfect.
I remember finding that at Best Buy of all places.
Yeah.
Someone who worked there must have done, like, we need to get this game stateside and, like, ordered a whole bunch of it.
Yeah. It was definitely a weird time when it was like, this shouldn't be, this feels like it shouldn't be here, but it's here and I could physically buy it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I definitely could not afford that at the time.
No.
I walked out with it anyways.
What?
So.
Stole it?
I purchased it.
Oh, okay.
56 is the last Metacritic score that we've had from Spike Chunsoft in a Dragon Ball related capacity. The highest these games were 72 with the original Sparking Trilogy. And this is the team making
this new game,
Sparking Zero. So I just want to, this isn't to get you down.
Oh, is it not?
But it's to get you down enough so that the game coming out doesn't get you down further. Okay.
Set expectations.
Set your expectations. There's been tons of times in which I have gone in not expecting to like something and I've walked out loving it and being its biggest champion. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Let's get down in the gutters with where we think Zero is going to be. And then we can come out smiling on the other side.
I think we will.
I'm excited to do that, guys. So let's do it. Should we talk about, because one of the big things of the Sparking games has always been the gigantic roster and it being just absolutely bonkers. Before we get into...
This was something they pared back on the Raging Blast and Ultimate Blast games, correct?
Yeah. Yep, they did. I mean, everybody was struggling with developing HD games, I suppose. So this was one of the things, was cutting back the roster. So that way you didn't have,
loved big rosters until they made every single character just a copy of every other character.
Full power energy wave.
Yeah, I was happy when I heard that other games are going to be like backing down. Like, yeah, let's make these characters a little more unique, please.
Right. Well, this game, while we've been shown very little, we actually know a lot of people on this roster already. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to let you know what you can already expect when this game launches.
Oh, I didn't know we had that.
Well, it's a list, that's for sure. So, okay. Goku Z early, Goku Z mid, which is like the Frieza and Cell arcs.
Not an adjective.
Goku Z mid, Super Saiyan. Goku Z end, which is the Majin Buu arc. Goku Z end, Super Saiyan. Goku Z end, Super Saiyan 2. Goku Z end, Super Saiyan 3. Goku Super. So now we're including super characters.
Okay. Again. Is that it?
No.
What is this? Goku Z mid Super Saiyan? Is this a Super Saiyan? Is this a mistype?
It's a mistype. It's I took it from some other site and they got that wrong. Goku Super Super Saiyan God. Goku Super Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan or Super Saiyan Blue.
Oh no.
Vegeta Z Scouter, which is of course the Saiyan arc where he's got a scouter. Great Ape Vegeta.
I should be pulling on my SH figure arts as he's like naming these characters. I'm like, I have that.
Vegeta Z, Vegeta Z, Super Saiyan, Super Vegeta, Vegeta Z, end, Vegeta Z, end, Super Saiyan, Vegeta Z, end, Super Saiyan 2, Majin Vegeta, Vegeta, Super, Vegeta, Super, Super Saiyan, Vegeta, Super, Super Saiyan God, Vegeta, Super, right, Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan. No!
We're past Goku and Vegeta now.
We're past Goku's and Vegeta's.
Okay.
Now we've got Android 17, Super, Android 18, Bergamo, or Bergamot, I don't know how one which way we went for that. Broly, Super, Wrathful, or whatever it is, where he's got yellow eyes.
Ikari. Yeah.
Broly, Super, Super Saiyan, Cell, Perfect Form, Frieza, Final Form, Future Trunks from Z, Super Saiyan, Future Trunks from Super, Super Saiyan, Mr. Satan, Jiren, Kuririn, Majin Buu, Innocent, or Fat Buu, Piccolo, Z, Tenshinhan, and Yamcha. That's who we know is all in there currently, and we'll see what else more. Yes, that Yamcha, that SH figure arts that you must have recently got, because it's new, right, Doug?
Let's keep going.
Audio listeners need to know what I'm saying, too, Douglas. You know this. Anyway, let's talk about what...
So does this...
Okay, go ahead.
Does this kind of fill you with dread a little bit?
Yes. No, didn't like this in the original games. Normal. But I get the impression from the initial trailer that transformations are a thing. But
yes, and that's what it was like.
Choose where to start before.
Yep, that's how things went in the Tenkaichi games. You could transform mid-fight. You can also start at a certain form that you want. And they're all treated as different characters because essentially they are. They all have different super move sets, different stock moves, which is like things you can change your stats. Their combos are also different because you have two attack buttons in the Sparking games. You have the regular attack and then you have the heavy attack. And depending on where you put the heavy attack in a regular combo, you'll do a different finisher. So sometimes it might be a gut punch where then they're stunned. It might be a key blast that then sends them, you know, flying. You could also use directional inputs like trip them or like uppercut them up into the sky or hold the attack thing and smack them around across the map.
Do we have like the roster, like the image or just the list of the characters?
So there was a trailer that dropped in January that was, here's all of the Gokus and Vegetas and they're fighting against each other. So we get to see all of those forms. And then but there not like was...
the, what I'm asking is like the roster of it, like on the character select screen, will it have each of these characters individually or is it just Goku and you cycle through if you want? So we're saying 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah.
Well, we haven't seen what the actual character select screen looks like,
That's what would annoy me is if like they counted that as like a different square on the thing just to make it look like a huge square of characters and it's just like half Goku, half Vegeta.
The end of the trailers always show all of the hexagons and they're slowly filling in with all of the characters. I doubt that's going to be the character select screen because how the Sparking series has worked is like you go and you select Vegeta mid and then you select that and then it drops to a drop down menu of like, okay, which form do you want to start at?
Yeah.
And
I would like that more than if they did the other way, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the way that they're marketing this game is strictly as look at everyone we have.
Yeah.
And not anything else about the game.
Yeah.
Not any features we might kind of have. Oh, by the way, no couch co-op. Mm-hmm. Just like, that's like the one thing we know about this game, aside from all the characters that are in or so far have been announced. But the angle of them coming at it being like, look at everyone that's here.
Series was known for. That's how they always did it.
Is that what they want to be known for? I guess
the impression that it's just gonna be a copy of paste of their last game, but just HD. Like, and that's bad.
I'll take HD Tenkaichi 3/ Sparking Meteor. Thank you very much.
Well, you're a sadist.
So I think it is definitely
masochist. You mean
masochist?
It definitely is for older fans for nostalgia because the very first reveal was zooming out of a CRT TV of somebody playing Budokai Tenkaichi 3 Sparking Meteor. Before then, like that, you know, we'd get dropped down to Goku in HD on Namek turning into Super Saiyan Blue, and it's like, oh, new Sparking games. It's like, okay, this is to be like, remember?
That just shows me that's all they got. Like, hey, it's the game, but prettier. Like, I feel like that's all they got.
Maybe. So we want to talk about what we want to see out of it, not what we're dreading they're going to do and making Randy sad.
Right. So we should go into this kind of where we're coming from here. So Randy, obviously you're very excited for this. You'll be there day one.
I will be there day one because Sparking Meteor means a lot to me. I played all these games. Sparking Meteor, I played so much with a cousin of mine. We were of equal skill level. So like pretty much every day after college, we'd go to his house or my house because we each had a copy and we would just fight each other. And the thing I think with the Sparking games that really makes them shine is playing against actual people. Versus playing against a computer, which sucks that they've taken away, you know, head-to-head versus split-screen functionality. But, you know, we'll see how things go. But, yeah, so it means a lot to me. I'll be there day one regardless, because if it's just pretty Sparking Meteor, oh, count me in. 10 out of 10. Game of the year. Let's do it.
Doug, where are you coming at?
I think I'll be day one as well, just because I haven't played one of those games in a long time. And it does look pretty, but I just want to see... I'm curious as to how to play. Cause I stopped buying them since two. I think I bought Tenkaichi 2 and then that was it. I missed like whatever the eight of the games you listed because I was like, this is just square, 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 triangle, square, 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 triangle over and over and over again. And there's like no for every single character. And it was just so boring to me and so bare bones that I just didn't care at all. I'm like, bring me back the Budokai series. Like that was my jam. I love that.
And then I'm going to be coming in at the most negative here. I've always resented these games for not being the Budokai games. I think the one of these I enjoyed the most was Budokai Tenkaichi 2. Of course, these were games that I never purchased myself. My friend in college had them, and so I would play his versions of them. Once he stopped buying them, I stopped playing them. So Tenkaichi 3 is the last one I've played, the last Spike game I have touched. And that was the last time I touched it was, what, when did this one game come out? 2007. So last time I probably spent any real amount of time with it was maybe like early 2008. So for me, it's been about 16 years since I've played this game.
And 16 years, and they're going to have nothing new for us. I bet you.
Before we recorded today, I meant to spend a couple hours, but I ended up only spending about 30 minutes with the game, with Budokai Tenkaichi 3. Mm-hmm. Not out of like a time constraint, but of I just couldn't take it anymore. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the most negative. I have no plans to be there day one. I have a list of things that I would like to discuss that if they could check off a lot of these, I would reconsider it. Of course, we'll need to see a trailer that features something about what's in the game and not just who's in it. So,
which means, Randy, you're going to be pulling a lot of heavy lifting here trying to convince us. If you, well, I'm not pushing convince us. I'm just saying.
I've got notes.
I've got a long list.
Okay,
I've got a long list of things that I want to see. So I want to not come across as just a ravenous fanboy that's just going to be gobbling this game up. And even if it's total garbage, putting it in my mouth and be like, yum, yum, more please. I want to.
Randy.
Go ahead.
You should feel more empowered because I guarantee you the audience is with you right now. Right. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
get Doug and Ken out of here. Jesus.
I'm the one who needs to put up a yellow apology letter on Twitter after this. Okay.
Okay. Well, then let's start with something we want to see. And coming from a place where we want them to improve and we would love to see this game succeed. Ken, what's one thing that you top of your mind you would love to see?
Oh. Top of my mind, day one, since the way they announced this game. So the first episode, listeners may remember, if we got a podcast that I was ever on, was where we talked about the very first trailer they showed for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So where Goku's powering up on Namek in Budokai Tenkaichi 3, and then he transforms, but now everything's HD, he's still on Namek, and he's Super Saiyan Blue, right?
Yeah.
Which only happens in all of Super, only happens in the Moro arc. So from the very beginning, I'm like, Moro. I want Moro.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go beyond what has touched the screen so far.
Wow. And only ink. I'm assuming Moro is a super character.
Yes, Doug. Yes. We'll get there. Okay. Hashtag no Moro, no buy.
I hope so, too. But I'm kind of in my brain. I'm thinking it's probably not going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. And the reason why they showed that is because Goku's Super Saiyan transformation on Namek is very iconic. He had a unique animation for his transformation in Budokai 3 where he transformed to that mid-fight. So they're like, okay, we're taking that and then we're going to show that this is new by showing him in HD transforming into a new form that didn't exist when that game was out.
Oh.
And since he transforms on Namek, now we've got to have him be on the Namek stage, and it's like not that, actually Randy. Anything to do with the super manga.
I was giving them less credit and just like, what do we got? We got Goku transforming. All right, where can we put him? Namek's memorable. Put him there. Like, that's as far as I game. But I like yours, Randy. Yours. It's a little making more
sense. I think that's how it is, but I do hope that it's the super manga that we are going to be going there.
But this is so top of mind
that
if they show Moro,
you're
the rest
one.
Of my list doesn't matter. I'm day one. I'm day one. I'm calling Mike up. Hey, you still need a spot for someone to come interview, you know, for review the game. That's how important it is for me.
I'm going to be on call waiting and be like, don't do it, Mike. Don't listen to him.
This is the goat guy. This is Moro is the goat.
Like, yes.
Not greatest of all time, but like he looks like a goat.
Well, he's pretty great.
Okay.
But
the
yes.
old guy? Okay. I don't know what you see in that.
That would be good. I would like to see that. Doug, I know you don't usually come into these types of things with a prepared list like us nerds, but is there anything off the top of your head that you're like, oh, you know what? This would really get me interested.
Just a different fighting mechanic besides square, 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 triangle would be great. That's all I'm asking for.
Now,
and I know everyone's saying Doug is more intricate than that, and you're just dumb.
Sometimes you press circle.
Sometimes you press circle, but like just the basicness of it was very, and then you dodge attack and everything. I don't know. Just the feel of it, I didn't like too much. But I am so far removed, like 16 years, like Ken said, probably since I played one. Maybe I'll enjoy it again coming back to it, having not played a game like that in a long time. Because FighterZ, as beautiful as FighterZ is, I suck at those kind of traditional fighting games. And Xenoverse was like, okay. Xenoverse felt like one of these Spike games too, so I didn't really love that either. So I think that's what I'm scared of, is kind of comparing my memory of the Xenoverse games to this.
Doug, I agree. We'll see. One of my notes here is that they need to totally rework the entire control scheme.
Yeah.
In this big gap of time since at least Tenkaichi 3 came out, I cannot speak to Raging Blast, and I never will speak to these Blast games. I'm not going to play them. Controlling a Dragon Ball character in a 3D environment has evolved a lot. With the Xenoverse games, with Kakarot, you can move fast now and it not feel like you're moving through molasses.
Oh my god, nothing was worse than just like...
Yeah.
Like that was...
Tenkaichi 3 is insanely slow, which is why I took such an issue with you saying fast combat.
Because compared to Raging Blast, they slowed things down even more.
Oh my god.
They were comparing it to everything.
But Kakarot is a little bit different in how it controls, but when I was playing Xenoverse 1 and 2, I was like, oh, this feels like an evolution of the sparking control scheme for the better. And so I would really like to see this developer learn their lesson if they haven't already. Okay. Again, I have a huge gap in knowledge here. I can only speak to the last sparking game, so I'm speaking for this sparking game. I hope they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback off of that with one before I get to my big one, which is, you know what I'd like to see? Wii Remote nunchuck controls brought back. Let's do it.
We love it.
Make it compatible.
Bring the Kinect back. The Kinect version, combine it with it. Maybe do this again. No. Yeah.
Because
we're on the same page, Randy. The same
page. No, we're not. Sparking Meteor. Wii Remote and nunchuck. That's the way to do it.
You Genki Dama, you raise your hands up in the sky, like legit, yes. And then throw it at this TV screen. Yeah.
Yep. That's what you do. Same thing for Kamehameha. You pull it back, you push it forward. It was just so intuitive, and it worked every time. I'm not kidding. I'm honestly not kidding. I loved it. When I've gone back, last year I played Budokai Tenkaichi 3 again, and I played the PS2 version with just a standard controller. I'm like, this feels weird. I don't like this, but I get it.
What realm it took are you a bit. Living on?
I'm That's... in my own place. So... We talked about, like, you know, oh, it sucked. We did Raging Blast. You know, these were yearly things. Raditz to Boo. You know what? I don't want Raditz to Boo in this. I want Beerus to Cell Max. Get us all the way through all of the super stuff. I think that'd be exciting and fun. Or no story mode at all. Take the time. Use that time for more animation. You know, a more diverse moveset.
You know, I didn't think about it until you mentioned it. But, yeah, like, I don't want to do Raditz to Boo again. I don't think that'd be smart of them to do that, especially with all this new material they
Kakarot.
Could use.
We already have Kakarot.
They have this new material of Super, and plus them kicking it off with showing Super Saiyan in Blue, that makes me believe that Ken might be right, that they might do some Moro stuff. They might venture out just to get more eyes on it, you know?
So, Randy, when you just said possibly no story mode, I was taken aback for a second. And then I was like, you know what? The story mode in Budokai Tenkaichi 3 sucks ass. It is so awful. You have two characters on screen, never a third one.
Yep.
Okay. Goku and Piccolo versus Raditz. In that fight, you're switching back and forth between Goku and Piccolo. There are times where Goku is just like, can you use that technique with one arm? And then off screen somewhere, Piccolo is talking to you.
Yep.
Again, can you use that technique with one arm? So you play the game a little bit more, and then it's suddenly like press R3, and you press R3, and Piccolo comes in with both arms. So, yeah, if you can't have a story mode that's competent,
then just don't have it.
In which I would say Sparking, what is this third one? Meteor does not have a competent story mode. It is every character just standing like this.
Yep.
Yep.
Talking to each other over and over.
It's that lack of polish that...
And not that Dragon Ball doesn't have a lot of in-between fights where characters are just standing there. It does. But it's just so lifeless.
Yeah.
The models and the facial expressions have no emotion in them.
Plucked in
the
there.
Direction is bad. It's just like, let's just pan the camera from this point on the x-axis to this point on the x-axis, and then just pan it again from this point to this point, this point and to this point.
That was the thing too.
When, there's nothing.
When characters switched in, it was like, it literally felt like they came from another universe where they're just like, all right, my turn. Zoom, 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 zoom. Like, it's like, where are you coming from? Why aren't you in this field with me or whatever? Yeah, it's so weird.
So it's like, ditch the story mode.
Yeah.
I'm in the camp of ditch the story mode.
Yeah, make it full-fledged multiplayer type. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I've got more on the list, so whoever wants to go next, otherwise I'm going.
Well, I was going to say, back in like we wanted to change the fighting mechanic, won't that take away from it being a Tenkaichi Raging Blast series if they do that, though?
Well, I was going to disagree with you, but you said, I know everybody here is going to say I'm just playing it badly or whatever. You are. Not that you play, you're a bad player. It's that you stopped. You said you stopped at Sparking Neo, but okay, Tenkaichi 2. 3, they added so much new stuff, Doug.
But that's what I heard. Like, that point, I'm like, how much more could you add to save this garbage, Pete?
Doug, so they added so much. So when I sat down to play the game today, I'm like, you know what? Let me go through the tutorial, right? Because I remember Budokai 3 having a dope tutorial in which, like, Piccolo's there talking you through how to use the moves and stuff, and you do them, and it's like, success, you did it. And then you go to the next one, success, you did it. All right, let's go to training mode. Okay, there's training, and then there's tutorial. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's click on that. And it's just like a PowerPoint slideshow of how to play the game.
Yeah, it's badly presented. And I'm like, well,
this, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to learn how to play this game the way it wants me to. Right. This game, go to hell with this game, you know? So I'm like, well, then I'm just going straight into story mode, Goku versus Raditz, easy, because I don't know how to play the game, and let's find out what happens. Randy's giving me the death eye. Yes.
It is badly presented tutorial. But if you learn the things, like I went through the crucible of fighting with somebody else and learning, you know, each other, like getting each other's heads and like learning all of these combos and stuff. So like, there's a good game in there. You just unfortunately had to dig pretty deep to get to it. But like, I don't remember the names because of course they like have like hyper specific names. Like this is the Sonic Sway and this is the Z Dragon Dash. And like, okay, whatever. It is. It's the cool shit where I get to like do an underleg sweep and then do like 3 teleporting combos to like hit them up and down. It's the cool thing of like they come in and they're like, okay, I'm going to hit you with this really long combo string. But if you can time, I think it's like block and energy just right on that first hit, you like dodge out of the way and then they do this long string, but you're just super quick dodging out of the way before you immediately punish them by hitting them back. And then you can get into your own combo. You can like, if you block in 4 different directions, top or 5, neutral, bottom, top, left, right. So when they're going to do like a punch, like a right hook, you can block there. Or if you guess wrong from which way they're going to attack, you're going to block the wrong way and then you get hit. But like you didn't read the attack right. Like there's so much stuff in there that they added. So like,
do they have that in games now? Like where, like how cool would it be like if you're being punched by someone and you like actually dodge it and like there's an actual good hitbox where like your character doesn't just like, but actually he actually like moves like smoothly. It's like, shush.
Series is a lot of that because their hitboxes aren't just like flat planes. They're like cylinders. So like there is a lot more that you can like actually be moving around and dodging and stuff. I'm not a Tekken guy. I just watched a video about it like a week ago.
Because I think
Shout out to that Tekken video by Polygon and Patrick Gill. That was super great. You should go watch that.
Because I was thinking of like, you know, the Budokai games, original 3, where like you would kind of punch someone and like they'd be like this, right? But then you hit someone and they like kind of flip like this. These are their legs and you're just kind of punching their legs and they're still getting like hit like that lame looking thing. Like I want like a more advanced, but I don't know if we're like 10 years far from that gaming graphics to be like that good or whatever, but that'd be cool to have.
Yeah.
I think we're there. You just have to design your combat around
it. I mean, and I would love if they did that. These games, when I first saw the new trailer with Super Saiyan Blue, my immediate thought, like just subconsciously, was like, oh great, I can't wait for the third one of this, because every third game of these series is always like they finally got it. Like Budokai 3 was fantastic. Tenkaichi 3, from what I've heard, was great and all that kind of stuff. So
I think that's also why the Sparking series sales slumped so hard, is because we had been through this cycle twice of like, oh, the third game they nail it. So it's like, okay, we're starting a new series. Like, okay, I'll come back when they do 3.
Yeah, I can't remember 3.
Yep. So everybody was just waiting on it. And then like, they then spun off and did Ultimate Blast, Ultimate Tenkaichi. And they're like, well, I guess we'll try something entirely different. What if it's rock, paper, scissors?
That threw off my rule of three. So I'm like, what game is this? Ultimate Blast? This isn't a number three. And like, that's when I stopped.
It's not a game. It's garbage.
Number three is where you stop because Infinite World was not as good as Budokai 3.
I kind of like it more.
I feel like the running around stuff is such...
Nah, story mode. Who cares? I'm talking about the actual fighting.
The combat system.
Yeah, not the story mode.
I'm here for story mode, dude.
All right.
The story mode in Budokai 1, killer.
Super good.
Budokai 2, interesting, fun enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Budokai 3, I really like the story mode.
Because that's the thing, right? It's like, it's the same story, right? It's taboo every single time. But if you can do it well, do it differently and like with like just some passion in it, I'll gladly play it again. That's why we love Dragon Ball in general. I'd watch the series again. So why not play the story mode of the game again, but just in a different way? Like, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So while I think that the combat is devoid of passion in Budokai Tenkaichi 3, Let me kind of praise this game a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Dope menu presentation, okay?
Yes.
This is something that Budokai 3 had as well. Characters in the menus talking to you as you go through. We've lost that in games.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Xenoverse didn't have it. Fighters doesn't have it. Kakarot doesn't have it. Just like you boot the game up and there's Soul right there. They're inviting you into the game, talking you through the menus. That stuff is great.
Yeah.
Do that again.
I missed that.
Do not lose that.
Yes.
If you boot this game up, Sparking Zero, and you're not being talked to in the menus, you take it back to GameStop and get $2 back.
The Chi-Chi isn't like, oh, welcome. Come on. Good to see you again.
Dude, and the Chi-Chi stuff in Tenkaichi 3 is the, and I'm saying this right now, as on the record as possible, is the single best thing in that game.
What's the Chi-Chi thing? I just picked her because I remember her from Budokai 3, but there's Tenkaichi 3.
No, not playable. You can go through
the Z encyclopedia.
Go through all the character. It's like the encyclopedia of fighters in the game. And Chi-Chi has voiced written commentary on every single one of them, every single form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
Oh, that's so fun. That the hell?
Yeah. Soul. That's what it is.
Dragon
that's
Soul.
Good. You know what? I actually do have a thing on my list for Doug for talking about, you know, new mechanics. And that's team attacks. So in these games, you could, you know, pick five fighters versus five fighters, and you could have certain pairings where then, like, now you can do fusion. Why not also include team attacks between characters, you know?
So. I would just love how they did it in, like, I think it's Battle of Z 2, where, like, you would, like, you'd get into a little scene where the two characters come together and, like, just keep wailing on the guy in the middle for, like, a sweet combo. That's the thing I loved most about, from the get-go, what I've always wanted is... At the very least, on the intro screen, where they, you know, they come up to each other and like say they say a few words to each other before the fight, to them actually like be unique to the character that they're about to fight. I always hated when they were just like generic, like, "Oh, I can't wait to fight you." It's like, no, say something interesting. Like, and then in Budokai 2, when they did, it's like, "Cell, I thought I defeated you," or something like that. Like, I was like, "Yes!" Yeah. Like those kind of things. So to just amp that up even more with like these games and like have them do unique combos with each other. Like a la Rebirth style, like do like a synergy type thing. That'd be pretty awesome too. But I think that's too big of a roster to do that. But
you don't have to do it with every character. You could certainly have certain ones like, yeah, of course these two would have a team attack, but these ones don't because you didn't pick a good combo or whatever of characters.
Yeah.
But like, that's fine.
I would hope that this game has a blank check for the development.
What do you
because
mean?
This game is going to sell buku bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nostalgia. Like alone will like has already proven that it's going to be like top contender for games.
I mean, it's nostalgia. It's Toriyama's death being top of mind for a lot of people. Daima is around the corner.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's just going to be a lot that is going to lend to this game selling.
Oh, yeah.
We're
not in
a
Dragon Ball fatigue. If anything, we're like desperate for more Dragon Ball at this point.
Right.
And if it was not the Xenoverse 3 game, then we wouldn't be happy about that.
Ken, you got something more?
Yeah, I want Sumitomo on music.
Dude, that's what I got in mind. Give me Kikuchi and Sumitomo soundtrack options.
Because
the original, the sparking versions of these games, the Japanese ones, just use Kikuchi tunes. I mean, there were remixes and redos of stuff. The American
MIDI mixes.
Yeah, the American versions, we had original music. And some of it was a hit and miss. Some of it was pretty good. But like, yeah, man, make sure that I can play with the original music.
A lot of that music from Tenkaichi 2 and 3, the American versions, was used for the Budokai HD collection because they had to take all the Yamamoto music out.
Yep.
And so I remember I was playing Tenkaichi 3 earlier today, and one of the songs was playing, and I'm like, why do I know this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's from the HD version of the Budokai games.
You know what I would love is if, like, the songs would – it would be those songs, but they would change depending on what happens during the battle. Like, if, like, you're getting, like, neck and neck and you're really, like, down to the wire, it changes to a different Kikuchi track or something like that. It'd be so cool.
I was going to bring up, Doug, you said you never played Raging Blast 2.
Right.
But there was, you know, like most Dragon Ball games, there's an original song for the opening of the game, you know, for this intro, for the cinematic. That game was also special in that once you powered up to your, like, full power, where then, like, you get stat boosts or whatever, the BGM changed, and it started to play that song as, like, an insert song while you're just wailing on the guy.
That's cool.
Granted, it got kind of annoying if you did that multiple times in a fight, and then
it's too easy to get to that point. So, like, I gotcha. So, maybe a more difficult beacon to reach,
right?
To trigger.
But it's like, a cool
idea. If you're both at like 20 HP or like whatever, like the same time, it's like, well, no, it's anyone's game.
I don't necessarily need them to reuse any music from the series. Mm. I just want good music. I want something with some emotion behind it. And Sumitomo, love or hate, you know, Omen of Victory, you know, of course, there's whatever. But he knows how to craft a soundtrack, like the Broly soundtrack. Dude, come on, all right? I would trust him to give the music character, which I would say those English scores used in Tenkaichi 2 and 3 definitely lack that. Mm-hmm. Because Yamamoto, plagiarism being what it is, made the most killer soundtracks for video games, right? And partially, that's probably also why I probably always resented the Tenkaichi games, because they just never sounded as good. Like, the music's, none of it's catchy at all. Like, it's just bland. Like, we had to put something in here because for whatever reason, we couldn't just license our own Kikuchi music.
Yeah, so weird.
So they did this. Now,
for those, Fusions has some... For those more technically inclined, there is a fan patch out there where you can play Budokai Tenkaichi 3 with Kikuchi music put back in. I highly recommend you do that because it rules. Sorry, Ken. I stepped on your toes.
Dragon Ball music in games. I don't really care for the FighterZ soundtrack. To me, it's just like all whatever samey rock music.
Yeah.
There's no like Dragon Ball in it.
Yeah.
Fusions is kind of like half and half for me. Some of it's just that arcadey rock music. Some of it is very Dragon Ball to me. And then I think, you know, Kakarot is just an amazing soundtrack top to bottom. Yeah, it reuses a lot of Kikuchi stuff, but then it has a lot of Kikuchi-inspired stuff in there as well.
Oh, cool.
So I just want whatever is going on music here to have character, have soul to it, which is something I can't really quantify, but it's like, you know, I know it when I see it.
Yeah, because here I was thinking, like, no, just give me Kikuchi. But yeah, if you give me good... if you give me good new music that like just gives me the same feeling as Budokai 1 did, man, that music back then was so good. It's still memorable. It's still catchy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be up for it. How do you pronounce it? I keep saying Kikuchi wrong.
Oh, you got it that
Kikuchi.
Time.
Okay.
But yeah.
Emphasis on the syllable, on the first syllable.
Mm-hmm.
Kikuchi. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to say no Patara or equipment system. So in Leaf Sparking Meteor, they had the Patara system, which was you would unlock, you know, little Patara earring things. And it wasn't something you'd see on your character, but it would like change stats and things, which you could use in like head to head fights with other people. So it's like you could have a very high advantage over somebody if you like went through the story mode and like did all these things and like unlocked like the super skill thing, and the other person wouldn't have that, and then you would just stomp them regardless. So I think that you should remove that because it's needlessly complex and screws with, you know, competitive stuff, even though the games are never really meant to be competitive.
Remove it from multiplayer. Don't take it from those of us who want to just stomp Kid Buu.
Okay, that's fair. You know, I'm not thinking story mode. I'm thinking, you know, head-to-head fights with other people. So yeah, leave it in there, but not for multiplayer combat.
I want the animation to look kind of Kakarot-esque, if that's possible, because that would look pretty cool. Like a lot of the...
Do you want the Cyber Connect touch?
Yeah. They have a really good touch.
Yeah, they do. Better with Naruto than with Kakarot.
Yeah, Naruto blew me away back in the original games days for those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, The Sparking games, and let me just say this about Spike, because this I can speak to of YouTube stuff I've seen of the later games. Uh-huh. The stiffest animation in the world.
Dude, hated it. I think that also threw me off, everything. Too, from these games. Are just like, and I kept seeing the models being used for everyone's like fan art, and you could tell it's like the blocky and stiff, and I'm like, this looks so bad.
Oh, yeah, the models
bad.
Are atrocious.
Yeah.
Models have always been bad. They've been bad in game, up through Jump Force. They're just... I don't know who that modeling lead is there, but they need to be replaced on Dragon Ball projects.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I hated it. It looks like these event exclusive things from SH Figure Arts, like these kind of like blocky looking design. You know what I mean, Ken? Yeah.
It's funny too, because in the V-Jump coverage for this game, where you think you would want to put forth your best screenshots of Sparking Zero to be like, this is the game, check this out, it's Vegeta in his Saiyan armor, you know, with the big shoulder pads, and his arm is up, and it's just clipping straight through there. Like, okay, dude.
Come all on. Right.
Okay. Spike Chunsoft, thanks.
That shows me that the polish is not going to be there. It just makes upset.
I think it's going to be extremely unpolished.
I also don't think that they're very as far in development as maybe they want us to think, because that new trailer was just Goku and Vegeta. They haven't really showed us a lot. They've showed us like two stages. And also that trailer had, you know, animations, these things. And then on their website, a couple of weeks later, they updated screenshots, and like effects and lighting have all changed. So it's like, okay, this is in a constant state of flux and improvement. So who knows? This is me being an apologist, or maybe just,
because I feel like if you're going to present that copium, you wouldn't present something that's clipping through.
Yeah, well,
I think
you
it
just
looks great.
Have to look. I love the art style for this, man. It looks
and
good.
And now you're not like an apologist,
Randy. I agree with you that it probably is earlier in development than we thought, because I thought this was going to be like coming out by now,
right?
When
yeah,
we first looked at it.
Same.
But look at their track record. How much is it really going to improve?
Yeah, but now they got Danganronpa money, because it's the same developers who made like that series, and then
this game is probably going to confirm sell like 6 million copies.
That's the problem with Dragon Ball, is that it's so popular that they don't have to put out much effort to know that it's going to sell. It's the Pokemon curse that's
what I'm worried about. Is are they going to feel the need to make this the game it should
they
be?
Have all this,
or do they know that they can just skimp a little bit
they have
and
all
get
this
the money
Dragon
anyways.
Ropa money, but they're just going to keep it and then just put a little bit into the Dragon Ball project.
And then Doug, character packs.
Oh, no. Because
4 years.
Yeah, because now it's a thing. So now it works for fighters. Let's do it for our game.
And Xenoverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have never bought a single Xenoverse 2 DLC pack.
No. I might have.
And I never will.
At the start.
I've not bought a single Fighters pack.
Oh.
And I never will.
I think I bought Vegito because he was like on sale for $1.50. So I was like, yeah, I'll get $1.50.
I got all the characters. I got the anime song packs for Fighters. Not Xenoverse, though, because I thought that was a joke of just like, what? You want me to buy them again? I already bought them for this other game. You should have it be all right. Like, you buy it for one, buy it from all of them, but whatever.
Bandai Namco, if you're listening, and I know you're not, but if you're listening, if you want to give me some money, I'll become the biggest Sparking Zero fan in the world.
We'll play on stream, and we'll
I've got some last ones that I could quick fire go through.
Please
roll back netcode. Let's make it, you took away couch co-op fighting, let's make at least the online be super
what is that
good.
I keep hearing that someone unfamiliar with the online multiplayer scene, what is rollback netcode? I keep hearing it.
So basically what it is,
just better internet connection.
No, it's a better way of how the game's going to present how things work. So what it's doing is kind of predicting what your character's next move is going to be. And if it is that, it continues with it. And if you happen to do something different, it's going to roll it back like a few frames to then do that. It presents much more smoothly and feels much more like you are sitting next to the person playing versus how traditional online netcode has worked. So basically, it's just smoother.
It needs that, and Randy, it also needs Wi-Fi indicator.
Yes, absolutely.
Wi-Fi
Let
indicator.
Me know.
Because you are going to get some people one bar Wi-Fi the hell out of this game.
Yep.
and they need to just be gone. Sorry. Dude, you are not situated to play online.
Ethernet players only, all right?
So rollback netcode makes gameplay smoother because it kind of predicts by the millisecond what's going to happen to make it the illusion of it being smoother.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Next one, costumes, not era locked. So we talked about it before for our roster of like Goku early and Goku mid and Goku late.
Yeah.
Or end. So each of those characters also has a separate costume situation that is, you know, relative to where they are in that story. That's cool. But let me choose Goku mid in the Yardrat outfit, but have his moveset and skills be like from end of Boo, where it's like he can go Super Saiyan 3 or even Super. Let him be Super Saiyan Blue. But
that's what makes me hesitant about having different squares for different characters through the roster, is that they're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was just like, this is Vegeta, and then here are your options for him, anything you want kind of thing, that'd be great. But the fact that they're separating them, I don't think they're going to. But just give me this Vegeta that I can transform into Super Saiyan. The Scouter armor Vegeta has Super Saiyan. So dope.
That's what I'm asking.
Any reason to pull out my figures, I try.
A normal thing in games, they haven't missed it yet, but I think it would be very bad if they didn't. Allow me to save my replays. They've done that in all of the other more recent games. And I talked about that this game, that Sparking Meteor means a lot to me. I have a video up on my YouTube channel that I recorded off of the replay saves on the Wii version that I made in like 2007, but I uploaded this to YouTube like, I don't know, 8 years or so ago.
I think if you play it on anything besides a Switch, you already have the ability to record your previous, like, so that's not a priority for them, I think. But I know you want to play with your Wii controllers so you can jiggle your hands exactly. around, so you might need that.
And I think, Ken, you had you were talking about the story mode of like, can you do that move with one arm and then Piccolo pops in and he's got both arms? Give me Future Gohan with one arm, because in all of these games, you have Future Gohan and he's got both arms, but all of his moves, his animations are one arm.
I think Japan is a thing where they're not allowed to have a one arm character anymore.
Too bad.
In media.
Fix it. Fix
too bad. Japan, you got to the country of Japan, fix it. Make sure
it'll be on PC. I want to see a source for that.
I think I heard that. I think that's why we're not getting a Future Gohan figure arts with one hand, because you're not really allowed to have decapitated, but what's it called?
Dismembered.
Limbs.
I don't know about that.
I'll find you a source.
But give that to me. And if
my
not,
my cousin Janet says so.
If not, I'll buy it on PC. Somebody will mod it. Because it was so dumb. Like, everybody does their grabs with their right arms. Except for Future Gohan in that game, does it with his left arm, but he still has a right arm. What are we doing? Why is it still there?
Just like you tell me to skip Chadley's conversation, just imagine the arm's not there.
I've had to do that for 16 years. I don't want to have to do that anymore.
I don't have to listen to Chadley anymore, so yeah, same boat.
I killed him. That's all I had on my list. I'm excited, is all I'm going to say.
I will be excited if there is Moro.
If there's Moro, I think I've only seen the announcement trailer of him turning Super Saiyan Blue, but even just that, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm open to that now.
Well, after this,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, after this is done, Doug, I'm gonna put on that trailer, the new one of Goku and Vegeta. And
I think I did see it. Yeah, because I heard they were reusing lines from like the old Budokai games in the English version, at least.
Yep.
Kamehameha.
I just want to see literally anything about the game that's not.
That's fair.
Who's we have?
We don't have an announcement, release date, right? So it's not close to it. So there's plenty of time for more trailers and stuff. So
at this point, probably be like October, November, December.
You'll get your opening shot of a foot coming in. It'll be Moro's foot, and then you'll freak out, and he'll step in and
for free.
He'll be like, "Are you ready, Ken?" And then like the trailer will end and.
Guys, we didn't even bring.
There's a new character called Ken.
Yeah, it's a Street Fighter collab, or he's just talking directly to you.
I didn't have this on my list. We better get a new Hironobu Kageyama song for it,
dude. That's,
you know,
those are the good old
where
days.
They leave his lyrics in.
Yes. Well, Raging Blast 2, I know for sure they left it in. Raging Blast 1, I don't know. The Tenkaichi games, they didn't. But give me that. I don't know. You guys got anything else, or are we ready for a break before moving on?
I'm ready for a long break. I need to come down from this anger high.
Yeah. You do that. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more stuff for you guys right after this. All right, and we're back here to hear what you guys had to say about some Sparking Zero stuff. Ken, always the cool dude, posting on our account saying, you know, we're going to be talking about Sparking Zero. What more do you want from it? More characters, better gameplay, improved models and animations. Very baity in these questions, Kenneth. I don't know if I approve of that.
The bad guy.
You are the bad guy.
Billy Eilish.
Why don't you take this first one here from Jacob?
Yeah, Jacob Sawyer writes in, as always, definitely improved models and animations. A cool intro song would also be great. Mostly, I just want it to be fun. Are you implying that the past ones are not fun, Jacob?
Because we agree.
How could you say that? Well.
Jacob,
you're
dead to me.
Two of us agree.
Jacob, would you like to join the Ginyu Force with Doug and I?
I'm good, though.
I'll take this next one from Gen Ryusai Ryder, who says, outside the obvious roster to be Sparking Meteor, but with additional characters, I'd like to see this Sparking game have animations that attempt to capture the anime more closely, such as certain cutscenes being played at traditional anime frames per second. Yeah, man. I mean, Fighters did that, the sort of decimated animation where it isn't just a full interpolation between animated frames. I love that. Do more of that. Makes it seem cool.
I wonder if we'll see that, though.
There wasn't any of the trailers, so I don't think it's going to happen. And who knows how story mode is going to be, because they haven't showed anything.
If there is
like that.
Story mode.
I can't imagine.
Thinking now, that'd be pretty crazy if there wasn't any. If I have to see two sprites talking to each other again, like just not even sprites, just like the pictures with like their mouth closed and then open with a speech bubble. I don't think that was any.
And sometimes.
I don't think there was any in their sprite games, is it? That's mostly like the Dimps games.
Oh, the Sparking games are
there
just
a lot
like
of that.
Just mouth
sometimes their mouths move and they're not even talking.
that it's great. That spike polish,
quality.
Man, it's going to be there.
Yeah. 60 Metacritic score. Parker Rico writes in and says, the thing I want the most is other Toriyama characters. We're probably going to see Arale, but I'd love to see other characters like Nekomajin and Beelzebub from Sandland. Just anything to pay tribute to the legendary manga artist.
Yeah.
Nekomajin is in Dragon Ball Heroes on Switch. So I don't know if they'll put him in this one, but I think 100% you'll see Beelzebub.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with a Sandland anime, the game. Yeah, they want synergy, dude.
That's true.
Yeah. This one from Cage. I've put an unspeakable amount of hours into all three of the original games, so this is easily one of my most anticipated game releases of all time. That being said, I'm honestly not really looking for improvements. The dream for me is that it feels largely the same as it did before.
Yeah, primarily
in the terms of the gameplay, but I'm also talking about things like the way the menus look and just the general vibe of the game. If the goal of this game is to recapture the magic of those original games, then they absolutely have to nail the vibe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So nail the vibe and make everything better so that I can play it.
You don't have to do that second part, guys.
The demographic for this game is Cage, like who wants, you know, just the same, but just looked prettier. And that's great for people like you that enjoy that.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes. I love that for you.
Right.
No, he doesn't.
Having said that.
We do.
Having said that, they should want, and you should want, this game to be as good as possible.
Right.
Of course.
And Spike Chunsoft is not an as good as possible developer.
And that's fine. Ken and I don't need this game. Right, we're good. This one can be for you guys.
Yeah,
for you, Randy.
Yeah, Let's pull it back into focus. I'm just saying to get me to buy it.
Yes,
I don't want to take this bread out of your mouth. You eat this delicious bread. Mm-hmm. If you like it, you like it. Pancheesy, Randy's gonna kick me off the show. Pancheesy writes in and says, "My dream for any Dragon Ball game is unique character models that represent a character's different builds during different arcs. I want skinny, little sleeper build Goku and Piccolo, please.
Yeah, see, that'd be dope as hell.
I'd be into that.
It would be.
It would.
Ken, wipe that goddamn smile off your face. They already do cool things like they had been doing at least since Tenkaichi 2. I can't remember if it was in the first one, but if you're playing Namek Arc Goku, and you are transformed into a Super Saiyan, he's got the big, fluffy, singular colored hair. If you pick later versions, it's like, you know, the much more detailed spikes. So it's right. Like, okay.
That was pretty cool.
They're carrying that over. So, but builds, yeah, that'd be cool. Give me, you know.
Because I feel like in all pretty muscly. All the games, it was always, the builds were just three. It was like tiny character, regular size character, and big size character, and that's it. Don't give me that. Give me like Goku build, and then Gohan build, and then all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Narrow Nova says, I think it would be cool as a mode is where instead of a team battle of 5v5, you can have characters instead give boosts to stats if you add them to a team, kind of like Jump Ultimate Stars. Since the Tenkaichi games have always been pretty simple, it could add to the gameplay replay value. Yeah, I mean, to mix things up.
You had me at Jump Superstars, Ultimate Stars.
Yeah. Although it was disappointing when you would play that game and play like Supersonic Warriors, where some characters you get, you're like, oh yeah, I love this character, and they're just a support.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wanted to play as Yagami Light from Death Note, but he's just a support character.
Mm. Someone is going to be extremely upset that the clown from the Tournament of Power, whatever his name was, is just a support. Yeah. So you have to make them playable. I mean, this is, I don't think you can, like, it's a cool idea. I don't think you can pull that off in this game.
No,
without,
I think they can.
Like, making people mad.
And then there'll be something to look forward to for the following game and the third one when they finally nail it.
But just nail it the first
That's
try.
They're not going to do that. That's not how they do these games anymore. They put out one game, and then they put expansions and DLC for 6 to 8 years, and then they kill it. So,
hey, Kakarot nailed it first try.
Kakarot had DLC. But I guess I was more...
We got this here from Saban. This here from Saban, who writes in, GT Goku in base roster or early DLC, but mainly I want very tight combat, more akin to the older games and less Xenoverse. No creative characters. I want the up to 5v5 team battles, where it's a series of 1v1s instead of all characters on the screen at once. Think Sparking Meteor.
I think what Xenoverse did for me was, like, we kept asking for a unique story, and with creative character, we got it, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't need that anymore. That doesn't work as well as I thought it would. So,
I'm hung up here on the tight combat being less Xenoverse, because Xenoverse had better combat.
You're going back the wrong way.
I think Sparking Meteor had better combat, but Xenoverse had a better control scheme. It's just, you know, where are you going to lay out the buttons? How are you going to move around? I think that one did it better there, but combat wise, your combat options much better in Sparking.
I think I kind of like being the bad guy of this podcast.
Spring here says, I want a full story from Dragon Ball to Super. Love to see alternative fusions, etc., with loads of customizations, with the feeling of Budokai 3, the best Dragon Ball game ever.
Thank you.
If they could do it well from Dragon Ball all the way to the end of the Super, yeah, I want that. But, like, it's hard. That's a lot of stuff to cover. And Kakarot, for all of its goodness, man, that Cell and Android arc sucks. Like, it was an afterthought.
Really?
Yeah. So
again, this should be a blank check game.
Yeah.
I don't think that anything should be beyond the limit of what they can do here. Full story from Dragon Ball to Super. Yeah, do it. This game's going to sell bajillion copies.
You should.
And then we've got this here from Julian, who writes in, I love Budokai Tenkaichi, and I don't mind playing through the story of Z for the 100th time. I just pray that we will get plenty of what-if content. Those were always the most fun chapters to play, especially in Tenkaichi 2. With Super content now, I think they could do a lot. And yeah, we didn't even touch on the what-if stuff.
Right. There was some good stuff there. Like Vegeta is as a Super Saiyan in the Scouter outfit.
Well, that was in the first game,
that was
right?
In Budokai 1.
That's what I'm talking about, the good games.
So they've been doing this since the very beginning of the revival of these video games. Yeah,
I remember
the Cell absorbing.
Thing.
So good.
In the Sparking games, there was, I think, I can't remember if it was Neo or Meteor, but they had the whole thing where, like, the bad guys show up and the person they end up facing is a Devil Man with his Devil Might beam. So, of course, he just, like, wipes the floor with him, like, Frieza? Oh, he kills him immediately because he's got so much evil in his heart. It's very easy to kill that guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically just like playing Devil Man, kicking all of the actual super villains' ass.
Boss Rabbit just turned him into a carrot.
Right. So, yeah, more what ifs. We didn't talk about that, but yeah, more of that would be good. Ken, I just want to say, despite all of this, I still love you. And that
I love you too, Rainbow.
We're going to make it through this. Doug.
Yeah. I'm worried about the audience hearing me. For-
Doug, you're my sweet cinnamon roll and you can do no wrong. Aww.
Thank you.
But you might do badly at trivia, which is what we're going to do now.
No. You're buttering me up like a cinnamon roll just to get me down again.
That's right. You know how I like to do it. So
you don't
we've got
butter
trivia.
Your cinnamon rolls.
Oh, no. You've caught me. I'm the bourgeois. I don't know that you don't butter cinnamon rolls. I don't know what I'm saying. So friend of the show, Zenpai, he hacked the show last time. We got him out of the mainframe now. But
we changed the password.
We did. What was it? Big booty something?
you remember.
It's no longer big booty babes or whatever it was. It's something else now. Uh-huh. But we're graciously letting the trivia deity Zenpai write more trivia despite his malfeasance last uh-huh. episode. So we've got a couple of ones here. And get ready because this is all sparking related.
So I'll know nothing. Great.
Question one. How many characters did Sparking Neo, also known as Budokai Tenkaichi 2, have in the Japanese version?
Pass.
36.
All right. I'm going to let you take another guess, and you can come within 20. If you can come within 20, you'll be the winner.
72.
115.
Doug, you get it. 105.
Ooh. In the second game.
In the second game, and 136 forms. So
that's gross.
That's the Japanese version.
Oh. I don't think this whole time I didn't even thought about characters. I don't want a lot of characters. I think these Tenkaichi games have ruined me with that. And just give me a small roster with good characters like FighterZ did, you know?
Exactly. Well, that game is there for you if you wanted to play that.
But I don't like that combat. I'm not good at the traditional fighting game style. But you know what I mean.
105 characters, 136 forms. The Japanese version, also the PAL Wii version, came with 5 additional characters compared with the other versions. Demon King Piccolo, Cyborg Tao Pai Pai, Apool, Frieza Soldier, and Pilaf Robot combined form. So wow. Those were not in the Japanese version. They were extra for everybody else. That's cool. Exciting. Question two. When did the first Sparking game originally release?
Covered it. That's minus 1 point for Zenpai.
Well, do you remember without looking at your notes?
It was what, October something, 2005?
Yeah.
October 6th, 2005? Yeah.
Not right on the money. October 6th, 2005 in Japan. Then released October 18th in America and October 21st in Europe.
That's what's so...
I can store stuff in my short-term memory.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's so funny about these games is that they literally come out like days before my birthday and I still didn't ask for them. I didn't want them that badly. I never asked for them as a gift for my birthday.
Oh, man. Final question. What was the last game developed by Spike Chunsoft that had Dragon Ball characters?
Oh, we covered it. Jump Force.
You got it. Bonus point. When was it released?
Minus two.
Jump Force 2018.
I mean, it was 2019.
Boom.
But Valentine's Day, 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Oh, because you remember you skipped that day with your wife and you played the game instead, right? Is that why you know that day?
I guarantee you, I do not have that game. I don't know.
And if you're interested in picking that game up, you can't. It's been delisted, so you cannot
Damn,
get it.
Really?
Yep.
We've been saved, fellas. We've been saved.
I grabbed it for $5 before it was delisted. I'm like, give me that. Give me all the DLC. That way I've always got it.
I thought about doing that. And I thought about doing that with Avengers. And I was like, you know what? I don't want them to take this the wrong way and make more stuff like this. Uh-huh. So I will
a
not.
A whole Morbius situation. Oh, they actually like it. Let's re-release it. Well, now you have a torture device game, Randy, like in the future to like some kind
That's
of...
true.
Play
I've not
jump
played
horse.
It yet. I've not played it yet. Maybe I should give it a try before Sparking Zero comes out, just so I can see what I'm in
It'll
for.
Make Sparking Zero look like a masterpiece, so maybe, yeah.
You're right. That's a good idea. With that, I want to say thanks for listening. We love interacting with you and keeping you in the conversation, talking about our favorite franchise
Figure
in
Watts.
The world. Post us at our socials at WeGotAPod. You can email us at WeGotAPod@gmail.com.
Thank you to Rifter Beach for letting us use his track, Kakarot Theme Hip Hop Track Remix. You can find that track and other great music by him on his SoundCloud. Ken, where can the people find you?
I don't know if I should give out my information now. But you can find me at DetectiveX on Twitter.
Randy?
You can find me at Saber_Breaker on places.
And Jabaz Doug is I. So, yeah.
Next time, the plan currently is
Uh-oh.
To review... the first arc of, guys, Young Gigi's Dragon Ball AF.
I thought I was going to say Dragon Ball Super. I was like, I was not ready for that.
So get ready for that. There are scanlations out there. So allegedly, we're going to be reading the first arc, which is about 3 1/3 or 2/3 or half volumes. These are smaller volumes than a normal Tonkoban size thing. So they go really fast.
We're back to homework, guys. We're back to homework.
Well, we're not going to continue AF. This is our April Fool's tradition.
Gotcha.
So we're going to go with, there's no more Toyotaro. I mean, there is, we could talk about it a little bit, but, we're going to go with Gigi this next time. So,
cool. All right.
That'll be fun. So that's your homework.
It's cutting into my Zack and Cloud time.
They're together?
Well,
in what fan fiction?
They're on the cover together. So I can only assume that means they kiss at the end. I can only assume that.
Yeah, whenever she used to put people on a cover.
Sephi. I just kissed Sephiroth, my Sephiroth amiibo, for those who.
Who on the audio.
Yeah. Thanks as always for listening, guys. We're also on Blue Sky. It's open, it's free, everyone's on it, but no one's using it. So catch us on wegotapod.bsky.social. And make sure you subscribe, tell your friends. This YouTube channel that we have has been doing gangbusters thanks to Doug. And so if you are part watching here because you saw Doug's beautiful face looking at figures.
I love
doing thanks
that.
For joining us. Thanks for sticking with us this long into the episode.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming over here, being part of the We Got a Team. And make sure to leave reviews or hit like button somewhere. That also really helps us out in the algorithm. Remember the little Cell Junior algorithm dudes we talked about a long time ago? They're still out there. They're still working. And they need your help.
This continuity is crazy.
So with that, we'll catch you Matsunator.
Bye.
See ya.